The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari, recorded on April 16th, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, text number 2.
Bhagavad Gita.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jnanam te hamsa vijnanam, hamsa vijnanam, idam vakshyam yasheshataha, idam vakshyam yasheshataha, yad gatva neha buyon yaj, gatavyam avashishyate, gatavyam avashishyate. Translation in Purport. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Purport. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord, and it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known, and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad 1.3, say, Kasmin bhagavo vigyate sarvam idam vigyatam bhavati. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vidam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So this is a very significant verse.
Taigi tai labai ypatinga, ypatingas posmas.
Krishna is saying, I'm telling you everything.
Krishna sako, aš jums viską sakau.
Knowing this knowledge I'm giving you, there's nothing else for you to know. Everything is here. In the Bible it is said, there is, Jesus says, I have more to tell you, but you're not ready for it yet. In the Islamic literatures, there's also a statement like that, that there's more knowledge beyond what has been revealed so far. But here, in the Gita, Krishna says, this is everything. So if you objectively study, as in a scientific way, the statements of the Vaishnava literature, the Christian literature, and the Muslim literature, and see what the literatures and see what these literatures are saying about themselves, according to Christian literature, there's something beyond the Christian literature. According to Islamic literature, there is something beyond the Islamic literature. And according to Vaishnava literature, everything is here. This is not our bias. This is not, bias means our prejudiced opinion. That we, because we are followers of Vaishnava and we say it's better. No, the scriptures themselves say this. According to the scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the highest knowledge. Therefore, one who understands Bhagavad Gita and follows Bhagavad Gita, he becomes the perfect Christian, the perfect Jew, the perfect Buddhist, the perfect Muslim, the perfect Sikh, the perfect Jain, and the perfect Hindu. Perfect Hindu also. So, who would not want to follow the Bhagavad Gita? You don't have to change your religion to follow the Bhagavad Gita. You can stay within your religion and become perfect in that religion by following the Bhagavad Gita teachings. In other words, this is another different type of religion. This is the essence of religion. The science of religion. Religion is a, the English word religion comes from the Latin word religio. What is the word in Lithuanian?
Religia.
Religia.
Religion, religia, reiškias.
So it's the same word. It's all, it comes from the Latin word, which is originally going back to Sanskrit. But in Latin, religio means to reconnect. So any genuine process of religion is what reconnects you with God. We don't say you have to be a Hare Krishna person to be religious. We are not a sectarian religious movement. We are an educational movement teaching the science of God. If someone has developed love of God as a Jew, as a Christian, a Muslim, or a Buddhist, we accept them as our guru. Anyone who has developed pure love of God, they are, we consider them a great saintly person. But that love of God is not some cheap thing. They can't be engaged in smoking a cigarette and having a, just like I saw, there's some woman, she's a lesbian, and she's a Christian singer and she's a lesbian having a gay sex. That is not love of God. That is love of the genitals. So if one actually has love of God, that means they have no interest in sense gratification. All they want is to hear, chant, and remember the glories of God 24 hours a day. That is the symptom of someone who has developed pure love of God. People ask me, why you, well, you grew up as a Christian, and if you accept Jesus as a pure devotee, then why are you still not a Christian? And I tell them, but I'm still a Christian. A Christian means one who follows Jesus, right? So Jesus inspired me to join the Hare Krishna movement. So this is my Christian service by being a Hare Krishna. I'm serving Christ by being a Hare Krishna devotee. See? In other words, you can't divide it out like them. Anyone who has become the beloved of God, he becomes the perfect of every religion. But we have to see if they've already developed love of God or not. Not like the Catholic priest who was giving blessings by he was smoking cigarette and shaking the ashes and all the people to give blessings. You see. That's not how, you don't give cigarette ashes as blessings. You see. In other words, you have to actually become free of the desire for sense gratification. Even the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." So, you want to be a really strict Jew or a strict Christian, and you want to eat meat, you can only eat meat of animals that have died naturally. You can't eat the meat of an animal that was killed. Even this so-called kosher slaughter of animals. Kosher means according to Jewish principles. Is a concession. It's not the highest standard given in the Bible. It's a concession for those who are addicted to sense gratification. Just like the government gives concession for activities for smoking cigarettes, for example. Because the government allows cigarette smoking under restriction, does that mean it's encouraging cigarette smoking? No, the government wants the people to give up cigarette smoking. Because it knows some people are so addicted, they won't give it up under any circumstance. They say, okay, then you can smoke under restriction. There was heavy tax, you have to be a certain age, etc. So in the same way the scriptures are saying, actually this must be given up, it is sinful. It's no good, this meat eating business. But if you're so addicted, okay, you can do it under rules and regulations. It's like for the Jewish people, there's the kosher killing of animals. You see, kosher according to religious, kosher according to Jewish principles. And the Vedas also have, you can kill a goat under certain circumstances and eat goat. But the persons who follow these scriptural injunctions, they're not on the level of pure love of God. They're still on the level of material sense gratification. That means they're not qualified to go back to Godhead, Jim. At least they're following some restriction, that's good. Just like the Catholics, they used to have a rule that no meat on Friday. And when I went to the school, I went to a regular public school, but we used to have a thing on Friday. We wouldn't have meat on Friday, we'd only have fish on Friday. That's so the Catholics could eat. So the idea of the scripture is to restrict sense gratification. Every scripture restricts sense gratification. Vedic scriptures, Christian scriptures, Muslim scriptures, Buddhist scriptures, they all restrict sense gratification. Because sense gratification is no good. It binds one to this material existence. But most of the scriptural injunctions, including the Vedic injunctions, are a compromise. That's why Vyasadeva wasn't feeling very happy after having compiled all the Vedic wisdom. He knew that what he had given was a compromise with sense gratification. Therefore, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, told him, you must give now the pure love of God. He must give the essence of the Vedas, which is develop pure love of God, so that we can wake up from this sleep of material sense gratification, which is binding us to miserable conditions. Last night we had a very wonderful gathering. You should have seen how wonderful it was in Klaipeda. In fact, those of you who are on Thought for the Day, my e-zine, tomorrow you'll see a video clip of a whole hall full of people. They were brand new people. They had never been to Hare Krishna before. So I started the kirtan, nobody was chanting. Only a few devotees were singing along. So I stopped the kirtan, and I taught everybody the mantra. And then the whole hall was singing with great enthusiasm, with great joy. So it was a very, very wonderful thing. And then after the kirtan, I asked them, how many of you would like to achieve a state of unlimited happiness with no anxiety? And everybody raised their hand. Everybody wanted to achieve unlimited happiness. So I then told him, what is the formula? The Bhakti Yoga system. And I gave a very nice introduction to the Bhakti Yoga system. Then I asked for questions. Many nice questions came in. And then somebody said, can we have another kirtan? I told them it was called kirtan, you see. They loved it so much they begged for another kirtan. But then I told them, I said, the best kirtan of all is right here in these books of Prabhupada. In these books, the kirtan is going on 24 hours a day. So now, if all you come forward to the table, you take a book and I'll give you a blessing, signed blessing. And so many people came and they took the books. And these people were so, even though they are brand new, they were so enlivened by this Krishna consciousness. And we went out and got in the van to leave to come back to Kaunas. They came pouring out of the hall and they surrounded the van. And they were showering the van with flower petals. The van was just completely covered with flower petals. And then Mataji gave me a plate of cookies. And we distributed cookies from the van, and they all came forward. And great, you should see the photographs, how the smiles on their faces as they're getting those prasadam cookies. I mean, it's just really amazing. So we're definitely going to go back to Klaipeda every time now when we come to Lithuania. And we encourage any of you who can get a ride to Klaipeda to come to the Klaipeda programs. You'll be just, your heart will be swimming in ecstasy. To see how these people are taking to the holy names with great enthusiasm. I mean, it's amazing to see. They were all just in bliss. They were all laughing and smiling. And as I taught them the mantra, the whole hall was in, they were just completely ecstatic. So if you go on to, if you need a URL, you can ask us. But it's on, those of you who are on Thought for the Day, the link will be there tomorrow morning when you go on. How many of you are enrolled in Thought for the Day? Alright, well that's good. Alright, that's good. So in this way, on this Krishna consciousness process, it is simply wonderful. It puts an end to all the anxieties of material life. You know what? This material life is full of so many anxieties. First of all, being born is a frightening experience. Living in the comfort of the womb for so many months. And now being thrust out into this cruel world where there's so many people trying to exploit you at every minute. Birth itself is a frightening experience. And then once you get out, you get sick. And then you start getting old. Then you have to die. It's not any fun. It really isn't. But yet everybody wants to have unlimited happiness. You cannot have it as long as you identify with your material body. It's not possible. The only way you can have that happiness you desire is to awaken your Krishna consciousness. When I say Krishna consciousness, I'm not talking about something sectarian. I'm talking about pure love of God. You see, that's what I'm talking about. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Davė labai paprastą dalyką. Ir čia Bhagavad Gita 18.66 skyriuje. Pats Krishna sako, kad atmeskit visas religijų formas ir atsiduokit man. Tai bus absoliučiai lengva. Kaip tai galima padaryti?
Many people identifying with religion. And 1866 it's written that Krishna said that you need to give up all religion forms. So kaip galime tai padaryti?
Kaip galima taip lengviau padaryti?
How is the best way to do like this?
That means to give up all pseudo-religion.
Tai reiškia, reikia atmesti visą subreligiją.
He's not telling you to give up being religious.
Tai nepasakyta, kad turi atmesti religiją.
But he's telling you to give up all of those duties which are not on the level of pure bhakti. That's what he's telling you.
Turime omenyje, kad turi atmesti visas pareigas, kurios yra netyroje atsidavimo tarnystėje.
Sectarian religion is not on level of pure bhakti.
Sektantiška religija nėra tyro atsidavimo tarnystės lygmenyje.
Jesus loves me and you're going to hell.
Jėzus myli mane, o jūs eisite ten.
That mood should be given up.
Tokia tikrai nėra gera nuotaika.
I remember how I was raised as a Christian.
Ir aš buvau augintas krikščionis.
You may laugh about it, but it's the reality. I had a next-door neighbor who was Catholic. And I was a Protestant. I was a Presbyterian. And the way I was trained by my parents, I told my little girl about my same age as me, her name was Joni. I told Joni, just from what I heard from my parents, I said, Jesus doesn't love you. You know, but I remember riding in the car, going by a Catholic church. My mother made some comment how the Catholics were going to hell. This is even within with the same religion. The Protestants are saying the Catholics are going to hell. You see, this sort of religion should be given them. And we should come to pure bhakti. That's the point. You see. In other words, if I think I'm saved because I'm wearing tilak, then I'm guilty of the same mistake. You don't become saved by wearing tilak. You become saved by developing pure bhakti. We wear tilak because it helps us to develop pure bhakti. But it's not that by wearing tilak you automatically have pure bhakti. It's not like that. That misconception should be given up. That simply by wearing tilak I have pure bhakti. In fact, in India there's many people who dress as Vaishnavas, but they're doing all nonsense. There's so many of them that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a song about them. In this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, here comes another disciple of Kali. He's got tilak on the nose, and he's got kanti mala around his neck, but he's having illicit sex with so many girlfriends. So in this way, we have to understand what is true religion and give up all forms of pseudo-religion. That's what Krishna says when he says sarva-dharman pradijaja. Any duty which is not developing your Krishna consciousness, that you should give him. And those duties which are helping you to develop love of God, those you accept. Just like you accept Guru. Guru Dharma. Because Guru Dharma helps you develop bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. Japa Dharma. Mangalarti Dharma. These things help us to develop Krishna Prem. So those duties we should accept. But any duty which is not helping you to awaken Krishna consciousness, that should be given up. Now, some duties have to be accepted for livelihood, that's okay. You have to earn a living. So that can also be accepted. But beyond that, there should be no activity except Krishna consciousness. I mean, why waste time doing other things? It's like somebody who wants to win the Olympics. Do they waste their time going to movies? No, they're working hard to train for the Olympics. So they can win the gold medal. So devotees, we don't waste our time with activities that are not helping us to awaken our Krishna consciousness. Because we want to achieve something greater than Olympic gold medal. We want to attain Krishna Prema. Any other question?
How we should cooperate with different religions?
So how should we cooperate with different religions? Well, we should appreciate the good that they are doing. We shouldn't be totally condemn them. Srila Prabhupada would meet with various religious leaders. And he would appreciate the good qualities of their good qualities, the good side of what they were doing. So we should always be able to appreciate the good in someone else. But Prabhupada also would point out to them the fault also. So we shouldn't say that everything they're doing is okay. That would not be good. But at the same time, whatever they are doing that is nice, that we should appreciate. In this way. We don't need to... Some devotees do. They join different organizations where all the religions get together and they have the religious leaders talk with each other. I've sometimes went to some programs like that. There was a World Conference of Religions a few months ago in Melbourne, Australia, and our devotees went there and did nice kirtan at the program. If we can sometimes go to such events and show them our kirtan and our prasadam, and so they can appreciate our movement, then that's very good. But it's not that we have to compromise our principles to please them. Our duty is to please Krishna and Srila
Prabhupada.
That is our perfection. Not that we're going to change our principles to please them. They should learn to see that we should deal with them in such a way that they should appreciate that Krishna consciousness is the perfection of religion. That we should do. So they can see that Krishna consciousness is the topmost religious system. I sometimes take invitations. I speak in the Christian churches. I recently was called to speak at a church in somewhere near in Texas, and they very much appreciated our presentation. They are very happy to hear about our Krishna consciousness process. So we'd explain to them in such a way that they will appreciate it. Any other questions?
Kada tu esi laimingas, tu nori dalintis laimę su savo šeimos nariais. O kitas yra, kada yra žmogus liūnas, jis gali net pasiimti tą laimę net iš mažo vaiko. Ar tai etiška?
Pirma dalis.
Kada tu žiūri žmogų į akis, kokie mainai vyks?
When you're looking to the eyes, what, kaip mainai?
Changes.
What changes happening and...
Kada tu esi laimingas?
When you are happy...
You want to share with
me
happiness.
Personally?
No, personally. When you are happy, you wish to share your happiness with other family members, and
another way is when the person is sad and he can take the happiness even from little child. Is it ethical?
And another, when you are sad and you can take happiness from another child, is it ethical?
To take also happiness from.
Actually, devotees need the association of devotees. Because if a devotee is having difficulty, his mind is disturbed, he can reveal his heart to another devotee. In fact, one should do that.
susiduria su sunkumais, jam reikia.
That's one of the items of bhakti.
Tai yra vienas iš bhakti.
You should reveal your heart.
Bhakti.
If something is disturbing you and making you unhappy, you should reveal that to a devotee.
Jei kažkas jūsų protą drumšė ir daro jūs nelaimingam, reikia tai atskleisti kitam atsidavusim.
Then that devotee, he can help you get over your anxiety. Or if you have some wonderful realization, then you should share that with the other devotees. That will make them more happy. It's called opening your heart. It's one of the six items of bhakti given by Rupa Goswami.
By
opening your heart,
atveriant savo širdį,
then you develop love with the loving relationship with the devotees. Don't remain like a turtle in a shell.
You
stick, you open the shell and stick your head up.
Iškiškit savo galvą pro šarvus.
And develop relationships with the other turtles. If we all just go around in our little shells and we don't open our hearts to each other, it's not the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's the International Society for Turtle Consciousness. So open your shells, turtles. Stick those heads up. Open your hearts to the other devotees. And then we will have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Any other questions? Does anybody want me to go home? Oh, Hari Balananda, you're raising your hand? Okay.
So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us chanting of holy names. Can we approach a person and directly give him and tell him chant holy names? Can we do like directly approach him and do it?
If you're expert, yes.
Yeah, to expert that state.
Why not? I did it last night in Klaipeda. And the whole hall was chanting in ecstasy. Next question.
Kaip nepamiršti Krišnos? Kaip nuolat jo siekti? Aš nenoriu, pavyzdžiui, kad būna taip, kad materialiai pradu tenkytis ar kažką ir nu, visiškai išgaruoju, kad noriu jo siekti. Kaip padaryti? Nenoriu kokią 50 gyvenimų pragyventi, kad vėl pradėčiau siekti.
How to do not forget Krishna? When I starting to satisfy my senses, Krishna like goes away. And I don't wish to skip like 15 lives. So.
Well, your senses need satisfaction, that's true.
Kad jūsų juslėm reikia pasitenkinimo, tai yra tiesa.
So you should satisfy them according to scriptural injunctions.
Bet jas reikia patenkinti pagal šventraščio prašymus.
The tongue wants to eat some Krishna conscious, the tongue wants to eat some tasty foods. So you should give the tongue Krishna prasadam. And this way the tongue is satisfied and you make spiritual progress. Do you offer prasadam at home? You know this art of how to offer prasadam?
He knows, but he do not do every time.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't take that long. In the benefit, you have a nice little altar with Krishna's picture there, and the benefit is such a huge benefit from doing that. Even when I was a Christian, we were taught to pray before eating. I remember when I was a boy visiting my grandparents' house, we would sit down at the breakfast table, and my grandfather would read from the Bible, and we'd all get down on our knees on the floor and pray. We get off our chairs and all get down on the floor and pray. Every morning before we took breakfast. So if the Christians can do it, why the Hare Krishna people can't do it? We don't want to let the Christians defeat us. If they can do it, we can do it. Of course, nowadays the Christians don't do it very much. I remember my family was traveling across the U.S. one time. And we were taking a picnic at there was a park above the highway. We were taking a picnic lunch in the park. Before we took our lunch, we all bowed our heads and we were praying before we took our lunch. And some Catholic nuns, they saw this, and we were praying. Catholic nuns. Yeah. Nuns, you know those ladies who wear the black? Yeah. And they were so happy. They came up, they said, "Oh, this is so wonderful. You're praying before you're eating. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you." So if you can do this, make your offering to Krishna before eating, you will find that your mind becomes very peaceful and the food becomes many, many times more tasty. So even from the standpoint of enjoying your tongue, your tongue will enjoy it much more if it's prasadam. When it's not offered, it's called bhoga. Sense enjoyment. And when it is offered, it's called prasadam, which means mercy. So do you want sense enjoyment? Or do you want the mercy of Krishna? Every time you eat, that's the choice you make. Do I want sense enjoyment or do I want Krishna's mercy? Does that answer your question?
Sometimes when you're in business, you go deeply in that business and you cannot.
At home?
In home, everywhere.
Do you have trouble doing offering at home? Sometimes. Yeah. First of all, become expert at doing it at home.
That
even if you're traveling and you don't have an altar, you can mentally offer it before eating. But at home, you should always put it on the altar
first.
Just be, you have to practice self-discipline. Even to become materially successful in this world requires self-discipline.
materialų gerovę šiam pasaulyje reikia savi disciplinos.
What to speak of spiritual success?
Ką jau bekalbėt apie dvasinę.
So you just have to discipline yourself.
Reikia save disciplinuoti.
If it's not prasadam, I won't touch it.
Jeigu ne prasadas, aš neliesiu.
Būna net ir šventiesiems, kad jie pradeda degraduoti ir nežinia, kada po kiek gyvenimų atsivers, būtent kaip pradeda veikti karmą. Kaip to išvengti? Būtent vaštartuvė.
Sometimes even a holy person starting to degrade, like when karma starts to act and they come up again only after many births. So how to...
That happens sometimes, yeah. If you give up the shelter of Guru, that will happen. But if you hold tightly to Guru Maharaj's lotus feet, you'll never fall down. So that's why the Vedas require you must have a guru. Tasmad gurum prapadye cha jigyashu shraya uttamam. If you want to realize the highest truth, then you must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation. Because by taking shelter of guru, then you're protected for all of eternity. Does that answer your question? Any other questions?
So, when devotee is traveling and go to supermarket, take some nuts, and very fast Sri Vishnu and takes prasadam.
No, Sri Vishnu, that's not mantra.
Sri Vishnu mantra netinka.
What these Sankirtan devotees used to do, they would go into the supermarket, and they would Sri Vishnu the whole supermarket. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. This Sri Vishnu, Prabhupada never told us to offer by Sri Vishnu. Do you see anywhere in Prabhupada's teachings, anywhere in the books or in any conversation, any tape, that where we read anywhere in Prabhupada's books that Prabhupada told us to make offering by Sri Vishnu? I've never seen it written anywhere. Sri Vishnu is used in the, it's part of the mantras we chant during the initiation ceremony. But I've never heard it for offering prasadam. I've seen two different methods for offering prasadam given by Prabhupada. One is, you say the pranam mantra to Guru, and then the Nama Om. In the old days, you know, we would say Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschajadesha Tanane. Say that three times. And then Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Primihadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namna Gaurav Vishay Namah. Say that three times. And then Namo Brahmanadevaya Go Brahmanahitaya Chajigaradaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namah. Three times. That's one method given by Prabhupada. And then in another place, Prabhupada gave another method, which is practical if you're out traveling. You just say the prasadam prayer. Shrira vidjajaritandriyate heka jivepele vishaya shangare tarmaje jivayati lamamay sudarmati take jatakutina somsare krishna bodhoyamay karibari jivajoy svaprasadanadi lobai sayanam nitabhanada krishna ganaga premidoko chaitanyanitai. Say it one time. And Prabhupada said we can offer by that prayer also. If you're in a big rush, better is to chant Hare Krishna mantra instead of Sri Vishnu. Because one Krishna is as good as 1,000 Vishnu. If you say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every Rama is good as 1,000 Vishnus. So there's 4,000 Vishnus there in the second half. Four Ramas equals 4,000 Vishnus. And every Krishna is good as 3,000 Vishnus. So 4 times 3 is 12,000. Plus the 4 more was that 16,000. Saying the Hare Krishna mantra one time is as good as 16,000 Vishnus. So what's more powerful, to go Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, or to go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare? Hare Krishna is much better than Sri Vishnu. It's good as 16,000 Vishnus. So I don't know who's spreading this idea of Sri Vishnu. It's not in the Lalamrita, it's not in any of the books. I've never heard it on a tape. I've never seen it in the Veda base. I don't know where it's coming from. If you're in a rush, you know, you can chant, you can offer using the Hare Krishna mantra. Also.
Three times
is good. The whole idea is to do everything with as much love as possible. According to the situation you're in.
So, if there is a bread made by non-devotees, and there is not even love. So we can offer this to Krishna?
Only under an emergency. I wouldn't advise eating karmi made bread. You can buy a bread machine in the store. You can make your own bread easily, a homemade bread easily with a bread machine at home. I don't advise eating karmi made bread. Especially grains cooked by non-devotees, they're not very good thing. So I would avoid any bread that karmis make unless it's an emergency. One time Mataji and I were in an emergency situation. We went to one holy place in India, and there was no prasadam in the whole town. We were hundreds of miles away from the nearest ISKCON temple. We didn't have a stove. We had no means of cooking. So what to do? We went to a vegetarian restaurant, and we ordered things where there was no onions and no garlic and no mushrooms and no fish, you know, completely pure things with no onions or garlic. And we offered it. We said some prayers and offered it there sitting at the table in the restaurant. But it was horrible.
buvo baisu.
The people came and stared at us while we were eating our prasadam. They stared at us. They all came and looked at us like we were from outer space. It was a horrible meal. I mean, I hated it. So now we're very careful wherever we travel. Just like we fly on the airplane. Next week we're flying all the way from Helsinki to Austin, Texas. We're leaving early in the morning, we're arriving there like almost 24 hours later, you see. So we don't eat any food on the airplane. Even if you can order a vegetarian meal on the airplane. We don't do that. We bring our own prasadam with us, you see. We eat much better than anybody does in the airplane. We bring Krishna prasadam. Now we might take a soft drink, you know. Prabhupada sometimes would take a soft drink. Something like that you can take and you can mentally offer. But we would never eat that food. If they offer us uncut fruit, that we will take. But even cut fruit we don't want to take. Because who knows what they cut it with. They may have cut some meat and then they go over and cut the banana. The same knife. So uncut fruit we will take. And then some bottled juice or some soft drink. But not Coca-Cola, obviously, because there's caffeine in there. We take our own prasadam and we bring on the plane. And we never go hungry. Mataji is very expert at arranging prasadam for traveling. We never go hungry in the airplane. Even though we take some very long flights sometimes all the way around the world. We always have nice prasadam wherever we go. So you just have to make nice arrangements then. And you can always have some prasadam. To eat bread made by karmis, I would never do that. Unless it was an absolute emergency, you know. Unless there was no way around it. Under emergency, you can eat anything. Prabhupada even said we could eat even meat under emergency. He told Hari Kesh Prabhu that he was sending him to Russia for preaching. In those days, there was no vegetarian food in Russia. He said, you can eat meat if you have to preach in Russia. He said, what about my consciousness, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, damn your consciousness. In other words, he wanted to preach. The preaching mission was more important than some inconvenience he may feel for his own personal Krishna consciousness. Just like someone may say, well, I'm more Krishna conscious in the temple. But if I go out for preaching, I don't feel so Krishna conscious. So therefore, I just stay in the temple. So Prabhupada say, damn your Krishna consciousness. Why aren't you thinking about the Krishna consciousness of the other people? You're being selfish. You should be willing to take inconvenience on yourself to help other people. But there's an insider secret in this connection. The more you're willing to sacrifice to help other people to be Krishna conscious, the more you become Krishna conscious. So he didn't eat meat in Russia. He didn't have to. Krishna provided. But the point is, under emergency, you can do anything for the sake of preaching. But one should try to always maintain purity to the greatest possible extent that one can maintain one's purity in all situations. To maintain one's purity in all situations. Therefore, always take prasada made by devotees. Any other questions? Internet questions, okay.
In ending of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is say
kad šis slaptas žinojimas neturėtų būti papasakotas tiems, kurie nėra asketiški, atsidavę ir neužsiema atsidavimo tarnystę.
This secret knowledge should not be told who is not ascetic. Not devoted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Žmonės, kurie mes pamoksnaujam, tikrai nėra labai asketiški, atsidavę ir tikrai neužsiem atsidavimo tarnystę.
And people for who we are preaching, truly they are not so devoted, so ascetic, and so on.
Yes.
Bet vis tiek mes pamoksnaujam, gal galėtumėt pakomentuoti.
But still we are preaching. How you can comment about this?
Yes. Well, we have the ninth offense against the holy name is don't preach to the faithless. This is the same point that Krishna is making in the Bhagavad Gita. But what did Lord Chaitanya say? Jare deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh shamara gaya guru hoyatare desh. Whomever you meet, instruct them about Krishna. In this way, you become guru. And deliver the people of this country. So how do you balance those two principles? Preach to everybody. And don't preach to the faithless. When, you know, so many people are faithless in the society, how do you preach to them? Here's the proper understanding. Deep within their heart, everyone is actually a faithful person. They are simply covered by faithlessness due to bad association. So you have to give them Krishna consciousness in such a way that it is attractive for them. Don't take them beyond their level. Find a level on which you can give them Krishna consciousness and the way they will like it. An expert preacher will find a way to connect everybody with the process of Krishna consciousness. Expert preacher will find a way to connect everybody with Krishna consciousness. I was formerly doing some business activities. And I, I offered one business associate who was a Christian, and he was a Christian from India, an Indian Christian. I had some prasadam cookies, and I offered him cookies. So being from India, he knew, he said, oh, is it prasadam? Because it was, he didn't want it, you see. So I said, oh no, it's not prasadam. I gave him the cookies, he enjoyed the cookies. So you see, he was faithless. But I gave it to him in such a way that he got the benefit and he actually enjoyed it, you see. Even though I had to tell a little transcendental lie, you see. So the point is, you find a way to give Krishna consciousness to everybody. Even just be buying a friendly, nice person and people like you. Even if you're just a friendly, nice person wherever you go and people like you. You're helping them to advance in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna says, if you want to love me, love my dog. So the devotee, he is the dog of Krishna. If you deal with people in such a way, they really think you're cool, they really like you. Then they make spiritual advancement just by liking you. So in this way we can preach to everybody. The only way you can actually successfully preach to somebody is if they like you. So how are you going to like me? How will you be willing to like me? Nobody wants to like somebody that doesn't like them, right? If you don't like me, then I'm not going to like you, right? But if you like me, then I think you're cool because you like me. Therefore, since you like me, you're cool and I like you because you like me. This is how human psychology works. If you like me, you're cool. I like you because you like me. So, if you show people how much you love them and how much you like them, if you treat them like you think they're really cool, they're really super, then they'll like you. Hey, that person is really nice, he's really cool. And then they develop faith in you as a person. And then when that faith in you as a person has been established, because you are Krishna's representative, their faith in Krishna will also automatically develop. How do you think Prabhupada captured us? We didn't know who this Krishna is. Even though the American people believe in God, if you were to go in downtown New York City and take a survey of the people walking up down the street, survey means a questionnaire taking. Many people would say, yes, I believe in God. But if we asked them, and if I told you that God was a little blue cowherd boy, who wears a yellow dhoti and a peacock feather in his hair and stands in the bushes on the bank of the river playing his flute in the full moon night, what would you say? He'd say, you're crazy, I'm calling the police. There's a madman on the street. So how did Prabhupada convince us? That God is a little blue cowherd boy who wears a yellow silk dhoti and a peacock feather in his hair and blows a flute in the bushes on the bank of the river in the full moon night. How did Prabhupada convince us? Because we didn't know who was Krishna, but we knew who was Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada gave us so much love. He gave us so much mercy that we wanted to give him love in return, you see. He showered us with so much love. The Vedas wanted to love Prabhupada in return. I'll never forget when I was first coming around the associating with the devotees in Austin.
I
had not yet joined. And so Vishnu Jana Maharaj was there. We had not met Prabhupada. But he simply told us about Prabhupada. The amazing stories about Prabhupada. How Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada did that. You could see how much he loved Prabhupada. I mean, it was just amazing. And so we were all hearing about Prabhupada from Vishnu Jana Swami. And there was some little girl. She's a tiny little girl, and she heard about Prabhupada also from all this talk about Prabhupada. And this little girl, just by hearing about Prabhupada, never having seen him, this little girl loved Prabhupada also. Just by hearing about him, the little girl loved Prabhupada. And the way she would say, the little girl would say, Prabhupada. With so much love. And I would hear, and I heard this little girl going, Prabhupada. I went, wow, this is really something. Even the little girl loves Prabhupada just by hearing about him, you know. So this, because Prabhupada had so much love for us, you see. He gave us so much kindness. We were willing to hear whatever he had to say. So this is the key. If you want to preach to the faithless persons, deal with them in such a way that they have faith in you. That's the secret. Deal with them in such a wonderful, loving, kind way that they have faith in you. And as soon as they have faith in you, they're no longer faithless. Because by developing their faith in you, who is Krishna's representative, their faith in Krishna is automatically there. Shishi Radhadamara ki jai, itai Gorachandra ki jai. So that's the answer. Any other internet questions? All right, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. We sincerely hope that all of you are feeling that loving mercy coming down from Srila Prabhupada upon each and every one of you. That Prabhupada loves you more than you can even begin to imagine. Prabhupada loves you. Prabhupada's disciples love you. Prabhupada's grand disciples love you. So kindly reciprocate with all this love coming down from Srila Prabhupada. And if you do so, I can guarantee you that very soon you will see Krishna face to face. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraja, I mean, yes, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Jai.
Achula Bhai.